When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Good evening. Welcome to Cone Zone After Dark, a special evening edition because the 49ers had OTAs today in front of the media, their first OTA session in front of the media this year. And we're going to talk about it. That's Lowell Cone, the famous Lowell Cone. Just ask the good people at Harry's Hofbräu. I'm Grant Cone. Dad, how are
you? It's true. I'm batting 1,000, Iggy.
That's pretty good.
I'm batting 1,000.
I'm batting 1,000 as well. So I was at camp today. You have some questions. Go ahead.
Well, the first question I have, I mean, there's a lot going on, but if I were down there, I would have been looking at the first round draft pick, Pearsall. So what I want to know is, how did he look? And here's what I mean. Forget how he played for a second. Literally, how did he look? How did he look in his uniform? What does he look like? How does he move? All of that before we even get to his plays.
He doesn't look like Brandon Ayuk or Debo Samuel. The first time I saw those people in person, it was apparent that they were much better than the corners they were going against. Pearsall looks solid. He doesn't look small. He doesn't look slow. He doesn't look like he lacks confidence. He looks like an all-around solid to good wide receiver. He creates a good first impression. He's a good route runner. He seems like he knows what he's doing. He's not a project. He's older. He looks the part. And Ayuk's gone, so he stands in and is in the starting lineup in place of Brandon Ayuk, and it looks okay.
Does he have good hands?
He does have good hands. He has short arms, but he has very good hands.
Meaning soft, he catches the ball, all of that.
Great hand-eye coordination, tracks the ball well, doesn't drop it.
Okay, tell us about his plays.
Okay, so he went again. I'm looking at, I always want to see who they're matched up with. If he were to be D'Amador Lenore, that's a big deal. D'Amador Lenore is a good cornerback in the NFL, a starter. He faced D'Amador Lenore. He went up against Ambry Thomas, who has played for the 49ers, but he's not that good, and he's even worse in practice for some reason, and he beat Ambry Thomas twice. He also went up against Rock Ya-Sin, who's a veteran that the Niners signed this offseason, and Ya-Sin broke up the pass. So, hard to say. He ran well. He moves well. He beat Ambry Thomas twice. He didn't beat Rock Ya-Sin. The thing that he struggles the most with is press coverage if you put your hands on him. And you're not allowed to do that in OTAs. So this is the time for him to really look good. And he looked good today.
Okay. So let's say he looked promising.
He looked promising today. Absolutely. Yes.
If Ayuk doesn't play some games this season or gets traded, could he step in and be as good as Brandon Ayuk?
I wouldn't say that yet. Maybe. It's possible, but just because he beat Ambry Thomas twice today in practice doesn't make me feel that he's pretty much Brandon Ayuk. I remember the first time I saw Brandon Ayuk practice, I felt that no one could cover him. And with Pearsall, like Rock Ya-Sin could cover him. So I need to see a little bit more before I feel like this is a high-level starter. Now it looks like a guy who could be a good number three receiver for them. If you had Debo, Ayuk, and Pearsall, he might be a lot to handle. But as a just a one for one replacement for Ayuk or Debo, I'd have to see more.
Okay, fair enough. You know, it's just one practice. He's getting the feel of it, but he's not a bust.
No. Well, I remember seeing AJ Jenkins the first off season. He couldn't go a practice without falling down. He would frequently drop the ball. He would go lots of practice. He would go all week without catching a ball. So no, that's not what Ricky Pearsall looks like. And they're the same pick. They're both 31. Pearsall looks like a guy who's going to be solid at a lot of things. The question is, will he be Ayuk level? We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. In a way, what you're saying is they took him in the first round, and he may be worth that, or he may be worth actually a second or a third, and we're going to find out. Is that another way of expressing it?
I would have to say so. And it's like, I don't think that's a slight, because remember before the draft, John Lynch said, you know, they only gave out something like 16 or 17 first round grades. Like they're real sticklers about giving out first round grades. So they took this guy. And after they took him, I asked John, well, did you give Ricky Pearsall a first round grade? And he laughed. And he said, we gave him a really high grade. So no. Probably not. And you took him in first. You would have said so. So you gave him a second round grade. You took him in round one because it was the second to last pick in round one. No one really looks at him as a first round pick, but had they taken him in round two, there would be no pressure on him. So it's kind of a function of where they took him.
Okay. All right. Should we move on or for him?
I think we should, because although he's the first round pick, he got overshadowed by a bigger story today. A lot of players didn't show up to OTAs, and it's optional. It's not mandatory. You don't get fined for not coming, but boy, this is a team that's supposed to win the Super Bowl this year. They're supposed to be highly motivated to get on the field. And last year, a lot of their vets were here in OTAs. Christian McCaffrey was practicing. This year, he didn't even show up. Give a list of people who weren't there at all.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, Trent Williams, Chris Hubbard, who they signed last week, and Malik Collins, who they traded for to replace Arik Armstead. Those were the guys who just didn't show up, weren't injured. That's interesting. And when that said, what do you think of that?
Okay. This is a very complicated topic. So let's go real slow on this. My initial reaction is twofold. One, it's the first OTAs. Who cares? There's a lot of time to go. The other is, what OTAs are for and all this preseason stuff is sure to practice, but more important, it's team building. You're building a team. Every year is a new team with a new spirit, a new tone, and all of that. And my initial reaction is, get your tush in there. Brock Purdy came. Nick Bosa came. And you're telling me that there's a guy who's been on the team a week and he didn't even show up?
Yeah, Chris Hubbard.
I mean, wouldn't you, Iggy, if you were new on a team, wouldn't you be the first one out of the locker room onto the field to show, I want to be a 49er, I want to contribute, and I want to help build a team? So part of me, you know, is condemning certain people. Mm-hmm. Now, you said Trent Williams didn't show up. But he doesn't ever, right? I mean, he doesn't show up. Okay, here's the thing with him. He doesn't need to show up. He's an old guy. Everybody knows he'll be great. Now, would it be better if he showed up? Of course it would. But I don't think anybody's going to penalize him for it or talk behind his back. So my initial reaction is, you're trying to build a team. This is a team-building activity. The new guys should certainly be there. And who were some veterans who didn't play today?
Christian McCaffrey. Well, Brandon Ayuk, we know he's got a grievance. Juwan Jennings apparently has a grievance as well. Didn't show up. Christian McCaffrey didn't even, like, George Kittle didn't practice because he's injured, but he was there to watch. Fred Warner didn't practice because he's so important, but he was there to watch and coach. McCaffrey didn't even show up. He was practicing last year because he had so much to prove.
right? And all of a sudden you're not there. And,
yeah,
you know, I don't know, if I'm in the locker room, I'm thinking, you know, I'm a second string offensive lineman or third, and I'm thinking I'm trying to make the team. And maybe it would be nice if McCaffrey, you know, he wouldn't have to play all the plays. You know, Fred Warner, I'd like him to be on the field too. I mean, what is this? It's not Club Med.
No.
You know, it's not Club 49er. It is the football team.
Fred Warner acts like he's graduated beyond OTAs. Like, no. Yeah. If you want to win the Super Bowl, you got to go the extra mile. And it seemed like last year, more of them did. Like, the attitude was, only reason they didn't win the Super Bowl is because Brock Purdy got injured, and they were going to come back and prove that, and they were going to have a hot start and get the number one seed, and they accomplished all of that. And then they still lost the Super Bowl, and it wasn't any one player's fault. And now it just feels like a much different tone, attitude, vibe, whatever you want to call it.
So last year in OTAs, a lot of people participated because they had a lot to prove, and they wanted to prove that they were really could have been a Super Bowl champ, but the quarterback got hurt by Philadelphia. And so there was a sense, hold on, let's use some words. Last year, there was a sense of urgency, a sense of commitment, a sense of where we are a team, and we're going to prove ourselves. Mm-hmm. And this year, you're telling me, it felt entirely different. It felt like, if you come, you come. If you don't come, you come. What's the big deal? Well, that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. Iggy, that's a big difference.
Huge. Because last year, when everyone was coming and Christian McCaffrey was practicing so hard, like, they got all this praise. Like, wow, they don't even have to be here. And look at how driven they are for their goal. This year, it's like, well, they didn't show up, but hey, it's optional. It's not a big deal. It's a whole different attitude. So why?
Okay. I want to emphasize, I think it's a big deal. And I know a lot of 49er fans will say that Iggy and I are making a big deal out of nothing, and they're going to win the Super Bowl and all that. I don't think it's a way to start a season. Okay, so let's move on, because there's more to talk about. The question is, why didn't they show up, right? Okay, I think there are two groups of people. Let's talk about the ones who didn't show up, but really should have shown up. You're telling me there's a guy who took over for Armstead and he didn't show up. What's his name?
Malik Collins. Malik Collins.
He didn't show up. He wasn't even there?
No.
Okay.
And this guy, like, he wants his kids to graduate first before he comes here.
Oh, so hold on. So he's staying home for his kids' graduation?
Yeah.
You know, Iggy, I give him that. Tomorrow we're going to my grandson's and Iggy's nephew's graduation from middle school. I think that's fair. I don't want to put I didn't know that. I don't want to put the guy down for that. Anyway, there's another group that is more important, that either didn't show up or didn't participate, like McCaffrey. That's a big deal, because McCaffrey is one of these guys who's always practicing. He's so intense, and all of a sudden he's in a hammock, you know, reading a book and having a nice tea, and you know, I guess Kittle is hurt, but Fred Warner is standing there like he's an assistant coach. When did he graduate? And who are some of the others that didn't show and might have shown?
Well, Trent Williams didn't show. And some guys are hurt. So think about how many players, starters from the offense, weren't out there. McCaffrey, Trent Williams, Jake Brendel, Brandon Ayuk, Juwan Jennings. Was that six guys? Five guys? Mm-hmm. Say half the offense wasn't there.
What about on defense?
On defense, Greenlaw's hurt. Fred Warner was watching. Malik Collins is waiting for his kid to graduate. Tre'Varius Ward is hurt. Talanoa Hufanga still coming back from injury. So, like, half the defense was gone. The team, it was the JV Niners today, the B team.
Okay. I want to say, you're mentioning a lot of them are currently hurt. In the past, the Niners have had trouble with injury. They haven't even hit each other yet, and they got a lot of injuries. Let me say, it's not something that I think is drastic, but I notice it. It makes me think.
Yeah.
I notice it, Iggy.
Yeah. I mean,
I notice that a lot of these guys are hurt.
We know that the team is one of the oldest in the league, if not the oldest. They have 18 players who are older than 30. We know that they've played 60 games in the last 3 years. That's more than any other team in the league. Logic says this is a team that could have an issue with injuries. And already they have an issue with injuries.
Yeah, like, how is Kittle hurt? What's he hurt about?
He had off-season surgery to repair a core muscle. Same with Tre'Davious White.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. And then you wouldn't want to risk it with them. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But in any event, I do think it's worth noticing that a lot of key players are injured, and it's something to monitor. Fair enough?
Yeah. I mean, the center has knee tendonitis. He's 31. That doesn't sound great. It seems like if they had known he had knee tendonitis, they might have gotten a different center.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but let's go back to the attendance for a second. We know who's hurt. Brandon Ayuk not showing up. We know he's not going to practice without a new contract, but to not even show up, he could have been there as an observer or a coach to show how committed he is. He didn't do that. Juwan Jennings didn't even show. What is Juwan Jennings' issue?
I have no
That's
idea.
That's incredible to me.
And maybe he feels they're not offering him enough money.
Yes. I don't look, who knows what the issue is. I think big picture though, it's not just that the Niners, they don't have as much urgency as last year. I feel like the way they lost the Super Bowl left such a disappointing emotion inside them that they almost can't be around each other right now. And maybe they're looking at maybe this is a bit of a slap in the face to the coach. I mean, can we say that?
Yeah. I think, Iggy, this is the deep down key point. And I'm glad you're bringing it up. So let me try to articulate it. If I don't do it well, help me out. Last year, they came to OTAs and they were really committed and really worked hard. They played very hard during the season. And they were acknowledged to be the best roster in the league. A lot of people think they have the best coach in the league. And they didn't win the Super Bowl. In fact, what happened was the coach, Kyle Shanahan, blew it in the second half. You can say whatever you want to say. It wasn't his fault. He's really a genius. Blew it in the second half, and he has a history of doing that. So I'm going to pretend I'm a player on the team and I'm a veteran. I broke my chops last season. Mm-hmm. We should have won the Super Bowl, and this guy blew it for us. Mm-hmm. After all the work we did, why the hell am I going to come to OTAs and suffer? It's suffering. Football practice is a lot of suffering, and it's hot down there. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do it. It didn't work last year. You know what? I'm going to slide a little bit because if we get into the Super Bowl again, I don't have confidence in Kyle again. He blew it for the whole locker room. So I'm not going to be committed the way I was last year because I'm disenchanted and I'm a little depressed. What do you think of that analysis, Iggy?
I think that's dead on. I think that's the Super Bowl hangover right there. And I think the Niners have a bad case of it because they can't write it off like, well, there's this one reason, you know, Brock Purdy got hurt or Jimmy was our quarterback, but he's gone now. We got Brock. Like, nah, you had the whole team. You were 2-point favorites, 2.5-point favorites. You had the lead. And everyone kind of knows Kyle did it again. Choked. So hard to be as enthusiastic about the operation this year. It's year 8 of Kyle Shanahan. It's year 8 of him. This is the last year George Seifert had. A lot of coaches don't make it this far without a Super Bowl victory. And there's been a lot of faith and trust and belief from his players. And I wonder how much longer he can keep that going.
Seifert only had 8 seasons.
That's it.
He won two.
And he won two Super Bowls. Would he have made it 8 years without two, without even one? No.
Eddie, I've told you, Eddie would have fired Kyle Shanahan a while ago. No question about it. He hasn't produced. Yeah. He's produced, but he hasn't really produced. And the people who make the case for him, he's got us in the playoffs. He didn't win a Super Bowl, and he blows Super Bowls, and he's done it twice for the 49ers. So, Iggy, what I'm saying is I think there's a certain I'm not with the team, but I think there must be a certain weariness, loss of confidence, loss of belief in the coach, and it's reflected in who's attending or the poor, the relatively poor attendance of the 49ers when they should be really kicking butt.
Now, there were two superstars on the team, highly paid players who showed up. That was kind of surprising. Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa. So let's talk about them for a second. Why did those two show up? Deebo in particular, he got so much criticism for his play in the Super Bowl. They drafted what most people feel is his replacement, and they shopped him during the draft. Is it possible that all three of those things have brought out the best in him, and now he has something to prove?
Yes, and good for him.
Yeah.
Good for the Niners and good for him.
Yes. So that's a good development from today. Bosa's interesting. Bosa's never come to OTAs. Bosa prefers to stay in Florida and do his own thing, and he really had a down year last year. And now that we know that all these players didn't show up, I almost wonder if Kyle went to Bosa and was like, look, man, we need you there. Please, come to OTAs. Like, if you don't show up, then it really looks like a vote of no confidence from all the players. But if you show up, then you can be the captain and the leader that we're paying you to be. So I almost wonder if the Niners were like, look, dude, we've given you everything you want, all the money. You know, you like Nick Sorensen. Great. He's a defensive coordinator. Can you show up to OTAs, please? So he came.
I love it.
You know, his brother showed up to Chargers OTAs, too. That's another guy who would never go to OTAs. But Jim Harbaugh's in town, and I guess he got Joey Bosa to show up.
And I'll tell you what. If Joey Bosa didn't show up, Harbaugh would remember. Yep. Harbaugh, you know, he'd have something to say to Joey Bosa.
That's right.
Harbaugh, I'm going to say it again. I don't know that Harbaugh's a better coach than Kyle, although he may be, but he's a better leader.
He's a better team builder.
Team builder and leader.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, Kyle's still kind of coaching in Harbaugh's shadow because Harbaugh was here and pushed out. Harbaugh gets Joey Bosa to show up. Well, Kyle now has to get Nick Bosa to show up. Has to.
Fascinating. Fascinating, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty so, hey, look,
good for Nick for showing up, but I think there's a lot that went into that.
Yeah.
Like, listen, almost, do you really need to give him a round of applause for showing up? Like, you're supposed to. You make $34 million a year. It's the least you can do.
He makes $34 yes. million a year?
Uh-huh. Yep.
No, I think he's underpaid. Could I have some of that?
He should hold out. Renegotiate.
Iggy, is that $2 million
a game? Uh-huh. Yeah. $2 million a game. I don't see how any non-quarterback could be worth that.
That's a lot of money.
10.5 sacks last year he had.
He must have a lot. I drive in a 13-year-old Prius. He must have a lot of nice cars.
Yeah. You got to get a new car.
I know.
If you could get any car you wanted, Dad, money wasn't an issue, what would you get?
A Prius? Can I say something? You and your mom and your brother, you're Californians, and you grew up with cars, and you love cars. My parents didn't. I never had a car. We never in my family had a car. I always went around on the subway in Brooklyn or the buses. I didn't get a car until I came out to Stanford when I was almost 21, and I had to learn to drive the summer before, the summer of 66, because I never had driven a car. So it doesn't, to me, it doesn't mean anything. I like a Prius. It doesn't have any guts, but you get good gas mileage. And I, you know, I like the idea of a hybrid. What kind of car would you get?
I think I'm going to sell my Stinger.
Okay.
I think I'm going to sell the Stinger because it's getting to about 50,000 miles. And I think I'm going to buy a Mustang, like a two-door car.
I love it.
I've always wanted a Mustang.
Are they good?
I like Mustangs. I mean, I don't know how long I don't really know that much about American cars right now. Maybe they don't last 15 years, but I'm probably going to sell it at 50,000 miles. Might be fun.
Mustang.
What kind of car did you have when you were my age?
Oh, I had, at your age?
Yeah.
Oh, at 36, I had a Honda Accord.
That's a nice car.
It was okay. Your mom and I named it Kenny. We never called it that. You know, it was Kenny.
You had Kenny by that time?
I'm reasonably sure we had
Kenny. What did you have before Kenny?
I had a little it was called a Datsun at that time. And I had a little, like a two-door Datsun with a stick shift, and I called it Billy.
That's hot.
Yeah. I've never had a good car in my whole life.
But you're a New Yorker. You're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Khalil Kemp says, what up, Cones? Couldn't care less about Jed York's second place prospects, but I do find it hilarious. Kyle had to hire a head coach for the defense. Never going to beat the glorified OC allegations. Brandon Staley was named his official title was revealed today. He's assistant head coach / defense.
Say it again. Assistant head coach / defense.
That's what they call it. I don't know. It's kind of awkward. Assistant head coach / defense. Almost sounds like defensive coordinator. It almost sounds like he's above the defensive coordinator.
Iggy, your mic is crackling a little bit.
That's not good.
And
can you hear me now?
I can, yeah. Someone just fixed your mic. Do you know what it's about? Okay. And
it's about my laptop that I'm going to get replaced. Okay.
Okay. What were we just talking about? I forgot what we were talking about. Oh, cars. No, we were talking about cars. Can we come back to the 49ers?
Yeah, we should.
All right.
We were talking about Staley and Sorensen. Staley's going to talk for the first time tomorrow. So that'll be interesting to hear. Because I'm thinking he's going to get a question like, so what do you do? What's your job?
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm going to tell you right now what's going to happen. I've been in thousands of these news conferences. He's not going to say anything.
No.
It's going to be the most shallow, general, and he'll be smiling. Like he's really telling you something. You know, we have it worked out, and it's Sorensen's defense. I'm here for him to run ideas by and all that. You're not going to know anything after you leave that news conference tomorrow. Do you agree with me?
Of course.
Yeah.
It'll work out as long as they win. But as soon as they have a loss as soon as they have a loss, it might not even be the defense's fault. I mean, let's look at Steve Wilks. He had the number 3 defense in the league. They went to the Super Bowl. He did a great job against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, and he still got fired.
Yeah.
Because they lost, and Kyle wasn't going to take responsibility for that. So it went to the defense. So as soon as they don't win the Super Bowl, who's taking responsibility for that defense when it's after a loss? We'll see.
Maybe he'll have to fire 2 guys.
Maybe he'll have to fire 2 guys.
What question would be a good question for Staley? I would do? In your interactions with Sorensen, who's the boss? You or Sorensen? That's how I would ask it. Who's the boss?
I like that.
I mean,
when you start to look each other in the eyes, who looks the boss first?
That's how we would do it in Brooklyn. Who's the boss?
Yeah.
Well, we, right?
Yeah. Steven Draper says, Ayuk should have been a captain last season. Why show if they just give it to someone else?
Well, he didn't show up because it's not because of the captain. He didn't show up because there's an issue with money.
Give me Danny Gray news. Let him out of the doghouse, Kyle. He had 3 catches today. It was one of the best practices I've ever seen from the Niners' former 3rd-round pick. He's got a shot to make the team. But before we – and I got one more person I have a first impression for, and this is going to be positive. But before we get to that, I would like to make some picks. What do you say? Pick time?
I love it. I love this.
Pick time? Okay, let's see what's going on in the NBA. Dallas and Indianapolis. Indiana, they're playing now, so we can't pick on that one. But tomorrow is – I say Boston and Indiana. Dallas and Minnesota. Game 1.
Dallas and Minnesota?
Dallas and Minnesota. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Edwards. All of our favorites are going to be playing in the Western Conference Championship. We're going to be watching closely.
So tomorrow you're going to be watching?
Me and you. Well, not tomorrow. Because
We got a graduation.
All right. Let's start with
Luka. What are we betting on? Luka.
We're picking on Luka, 28.5 points more or less. Last game, he had 29. And the game before that, he had 31.
Fewer.
But game 1, fewer. Smart. Smart. Kyrie, 21 and a half points. He's been a little up and down, although he had 22 in the last game.
I'd say more. More? He's a great player.
Okay. Okay, I like your conviction on this. You seem very convicted today.
Who says that, Iggy? Oh, we don't know.
He doesn't say it anymore. He doesn't say it anymore.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, 28 and a half points. He hasn't hit that in three games.
So fewer.
Fewer.
Convicted.
A lot of points.
I'm convicted about that.
Pointage-wise. Carl Anthony Towns. Three names. 19 and a half points. Hit 23 in the last game. Carl Anthony.
I'm going to say more.
Okay.
And you know why? Because he has three names.
Yeah. If it was just Carl Towns, maybe fewer. No. Hey, last one. Mike Conley. 6.5 assists. If four in the last game.
I know Mike Conley.
He's been around forever.
No. Yeah, he's been around forever. No, he's not going to have fewer.
Okay. Okay. $10 to win 152 if we get all five right, which knowing me and my dad, we certainly will. Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Edwards, Carl Anthony Towns, and Mike Conley. Submit the entry. You want to play, use promo code CONE. Download the Sleeper app and get $100 first deposit match. Okay. So we just did some convention, which I like to do, you like to do. But it's probably good to balance it out and talk about something good that happened today at practice. And
okay, tell me.
I like a first impression. It was my first time seeing Joshua Dobbs practice in person. We saw him play in person. You were at that game.
I was.
He was impressive. It's probably one of the reasons the Niners signed him. But now we got to see him in Kyle's system. What does he look like? And I'm not saying he was great. It was the first day. But I was comparing him to Trey Lance because he's number 5'2", and he's supposed to be like a mobile quarterback. But the thing with Trey Lance was he had a tougher time with the quick throws that are so plentiful in the Niners offense and that Brock's so good at. He was more comfortable throwing long and a strong arm. So if Trey were Brock's backup and Brock went down, you'd have to run a whole different offense with Trey, and that's not really what you want from a backup quarterback. So with Dobbs, it seems like he's decisive and accurate enough on the short stuff. And one thing that he can do that Brock does well that not that many quarterbacks do well is the rollout to the left. You often see a right-handed quarterback can roll to the right or a left-handed quarterback can roll to the left. But we know that Brock's really good at rolling left and then stopping, turning around, and throwing with his right arm. Not that many quarterbacks do that as well. Dobbs did it today. And I'm not saying he's as good as Purdy, but it seems to me that he's a good backup for Purdy, that he can essentially do the Purdy offense, and things won't have to change that much if Dobbs comes in.
And I would say having that guy as the number two, Kyle, shows a certain amount of wisdom. He doesn't always, but in that regard, yes, I think you don't have to change the offense. This guy does it 65% of what Brock can do, but he can do it. And Iggy, the game we went to when they came into Levi's Stadium, we were sitting there, and I actually said to you, I didn't know who Dobbs was. I'd never heard of him. This guy's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, is he a starting quarterback? No way. But he can be a backup for a few games, and I think he can be serviceable. I also feel, by the way, Iggy, that the Arizona coach, I don't even know his name. I forget these things. I think he's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
I don't think Arizona is going to be a joke this season.
The way I remembered Dobbs that day is that he was extremely decisive. He took the short throws. He didn't hold the ball a long time. He wasn't trying to be a hero or make a bunch of plays improvisationally. He seemed like he knew exactly what the game plan was and was executing it as well as he could, which was impressive for a backup quarterback.
Yeah, I really was impressed with him that day. He had other good games, and he had miserable games when he went over. Where did he go to Minnesota?
He had one really bad game with Minnesota. But if you actually look at what he did in the entirety there, he was 2-2 with Minnesota. Kirk Cousins last year was 4-4. So the team didn't really fall off with Dobbs. And it's interesting. Now you put him on a team that was winning. They were undefeated with Jimmy Garoppolo when after they traded for Christian McCaffrey. So could they win with Josh Dobbs? I think they can. That's my first impression. I think this team wouldn't have a huge fall off if Josh Dobbs had to play. Again, I'm not saying he's anywhere near Brock Purdy, but I think they could win with him.
So Iggy, he practiced today.
Purdy.
I'm talking about Dobbs.
Dobbs practiced today. He was there.
And Purdy practiced.
Purdy practiced today.
I find it interesting. I mean, Can you imagine if Dobbs didn't come? What a smack in the face that would be to the organization.
Right.
If Dobbs didn't show up.
Exactly.
But Now, did the rookie quarterback, the undrafted free agent, did he practice?
Bet your ass he practiced.
Listen how you talk.
Sorry.
Did I teach you to
talk? Okay. And that's why when people say it's no big deal when people don't show up, if Dobbs didn't show up, it would have been a big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah. So he had to go, and he did.
Tell me about the undrafted free agent quarterback.
He didn't get to play at all in the 7-on-7, 11-on-11 stuff. So I saw him warm up. He looks, it's hard to judge a quarterback when he's warming up. He looks like an NFL quarterback, but you need to see him compete. And he didn't get the opportunity, which means he's probably going to be on the practice squad.
Okay. Maybe he'll get other opportunities, down the line. Okay.
Yeah. I prefer Dobbs to Allen. Allen is almost 32 years old, and he can't make the rolling left throw that Dobbs and Purdy can make. Seems like Allen is more of a coach.
You know what he's for? He's to be in the quarterback room. I think they're convicted that they want to have him in the quarterback room.
Because it's not about having the best quarterback. It's about having the best room.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because sure, that third string quarterback's never going to play, but he really adds to the strength of the team.
Of the room.
Of the room.
Of the room. Forget the
team. You're only as good as your room.
Now we're being silly.
Okay, we watched Phil Purdy practice today, too. And
talk to me.
I mean, we're not learning much about Purdy. He's a good quarterback, and he can execute the offense. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He's accurate. The question is, does he look like a $55 million man? And at least he showed up. At least he's taking ownership of the team. All that is great. But I feel like it'd be nice to see some plays, like one or two a day, that makes you say, wow. Because I'm guessing if you watched Joe Montana practice or Steve Young or Aaron Rodgers or any quarterbacks that are truly great, they have moments in practice where you're like, holy shit. And I don't feel that way with Brock that much. Maybe in games. But in practice today, he threw three deep passes and missed them. Overthrew them. So that doesn't mean don't give him the contract, but I'm still waiting for him to take the next step and be a little bit more, have a little bit more virtuoso with his performance the way a truly great player could.
Steve Young could make those throws, those long throws.
I think so.
His eyes closed, right?
Yeah. I have to say so. And we've seen Brock make some big-time throws in games, but it's like Tre'Varius Ward's not there, Fred Warner's not there, Talanoa Hufanga's not there. Let it rip.
Yeah. So, as far as his being a $55 million a year player, no way.
Yeah, what does that look like? It didn't look like whatever that was today. I don't even know what that's supposed to look like, but it's not.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Incredibly too much money for a player. Not for Patrick Mahomes, but for him.
That play, yeah. And I think Patrick Mahomes is really much better than Brock Purdy. Not taking anything away from Purdy, because Mahomes may be the best quarterback who's ever lived.
Maybe.
You could make the argument. And Purdy isn't.
No, but the Niners have a stronger quarterback room than the Chiefs. Let me see what we got super chat wise. Ezio Sanchez says, Mr. Cohn, were you as fashionable as Grant?
You mean in the way I look?
When you're in your 30s.
Get a look at his face.
He's got long hair, though. I mean, my mom went for you.
Get a look at my face. Forget it.
But he's talking about fashion. My dad's big into fashion and shopping and clothes. Can't you tell?
Yeah, right. I wear these work shirts all the time.
It's true. He's a simple man. Lowell, did you ever interview Bob McKittrick?
Oh,
Michael Mazat wants to know.
Michael, Not only did I interview him, I knew him very well. Bob McKittrick is one of my favorite people I knew in my career. He was the most decent man. He was strong. He was really good at what he did. I mean, he was a great offensive line coach, and he didn't always have the best players. He was really phenomenal. And, you know, he was the kind of guy, he had been a Marine. He was so self-confident. He would tell you things off the record. Like a lot of, you know, assistant coaches or coordinators are afraid to say things, but he wasn't. And I'll tell you another thing, and this is known. Bob McKittrick and Bill Walsh really disliked each other. I'm not going to say didn't like each other. I'm going to say disliked each other. and you know that, Iggy. I've told you that. Now, they worked together. It was McKittrick who did the running game. You know, whenever anyone went to the whiteboard to install stuff on an offense, the only two who ever did it when Bill was there were Bill and McKittrick. You know, not Holmgren, not, you know.
Weish.
McKittrick. And so it's very interesting, a case where these two men were so different. Bill and Bob disliked each other, but worked together in spite of that and worked really, really well together.
Pro Football Focus ranked the quarterbacks in the NFL, the starting quarterbacks. Yeah. Put Purdy at 13, behind Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence. You could argue maybe that's not fair. They put him in front of Tua and Kirk Cousins. Who's better, Purdy or Kirk Cousins?
I like Purdy. I do. Listen, I don't think Kirk Cousins is a winner. He has skill, and he may have a better arm than Purdy, but Purdy's a better quarterback. Purdy's a better quarterback than this Trevor Lawrence guy. He's a better quarterback. I mean, we went last week and we talked about it again. We had Purdy in the top eight. We did it on this show.
Yeah.
So now I could see why someone would put him at 13. I don't think it's a slap in the face. I understand why, but I would rate him higher than that, but I'm not offended in any way that someone would put him at 13. If someone put Mahomes at 13, I would think whoever is rating him is a crackpot. But I don't think someone's a crackpot for putting him at 13, but I seriously disagree.
Yeah, I guess. Remember when they played each other last year? I know quarterbacks don't face each other, but the Niners and the Vikings faced each other last year in Minnesota. And the Niners didn't have Trent Williams or Debo. And Minnesota didn't have Justin Jefferson. And Kirk Cousins clearly outplayed Brock Purdy in that game. But that's just one game.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And we have to admit that Brock Purdy did not do well when Trent Williams was out.
Yeah, or when Debo was out. And it's like, okay, well, those two are really good. That's true. But he still has other good players, and quarterback like Kirk Cousins has to deal with that.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a good left tackle if Trent Williams is out. And
that's true.
The offense did not function well. And I'm going to say more. They're vulnerable at left tackle because how much longer is this man going to play? He's older. Mm-hmm. And he is so key to what's happening on that offense. I mean, Iggy, they generally run to the left side because he's
older. So if he's gone, there's no run game.
They have problems.
So he's missed 9 games in 4 years with this team. They're 3-6 in those games. It's a good team. So, yeah, I mean, you take
really
one
important
player off the field, they go from being a great team to a bad team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's missed 9 times?
9 times.
Times.
9 times. 9 times.
Do these people know what that movie does?
Probably, we got 934 people watching. I would guess 50 people understood that reference. 9 times.
We do references to movies all the time, but most of them are to The Wizard of Oz.
Well, there's a lot of Wizard of Oz references. That's true.
Yeah.
Got to respect the wizard.
You got to respect it. It's my favorite movie of all time. Yeah. Not saying it's the best, but it's so far my favorite by far.
We're not saying it's better than Brock Purdy. It's just in the conversation.
I think it rivals Mahomes.
Ezio Sanchez says, based on your reaction, I am convicted that you were a fashionable gentleman. Jokes aside, great show today. Always a pleasure to see you too. Thank you, Ezio.
Thank you, Ezio.
Ezio. Oh,
did we do all our topics?
We did all our topics. We kind of ran out of stuff to talk about.
Oh, that went fast. Right. We didn't even make it an hour. It is?
Yeah. It's dinner time.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Ask me a question.
You were down there today, mm-hmm. You know, on the fields in Santa Clara.
Sure.
Was it hot? Was it hot?
Yeah. It is hot. Yeah. It is hot. I can't account for how hot Santa Clara is. Like, it seems hot, like the hottest place in the world.
Yeah.
Players who are from Mississippi or Florida will talk about, man, it's really hot in that practice field. And I don't understand why. There's, like, absolutely zero shade. And yeah. I don't know what it is. It's dry. It's about 80-something degrees. It's hot as hell.
Yeah. Iggy, was there a wind?
No.
Okay.
No.
Can you hear the planes coming off from San Jose Airport?
Every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm noticing it.
It's, you know what I mean? Amazing. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. What else about that place?
No, I want to ask about what you did today. Where were you standing?
I was standing on the sideline. I was trying to watch for how Sorensen and Staley would interact during practice. Like,
ooh, I love
what that. Do they do? How do were they how do they work that out? No.
Were they near?
So no. So Sorensen stands behind the offense with all the coaches who call plays. Like Shanahan's behind the quarterback. Sorensen's behind the quarterback. Bobby Turner's behind. Most of the coaches are behind the line of scrimmage, looking at the play with the wide with the offense in front of them. Staley was on the sideline with the defensive players, so he was the only coach. He was away from the other coaches. He was with the players. I don't know what to make of that. It seemed like they're trying to have Sorensen and Staley be separated and in different places, but I don't understand what the division of labor is.
Was Staley weaseling his way into the players' hearts?
Maybe he was weaseling his way into the players' hearts. Like, hey, when you lose confidence in that guy over there, remember I was a nice guy.
I'm only joking. I never thought he was a weasel.
It does seem like they're competing for the affection of the players, though. Like, after they were doing like a quick 5 minute special teams portion, and a lot of defensive players were hanging out on the sideline, and Sorensen came by, player one at a time. And gave him, you know, good job, way to go. Kind of like Jim Tomsula that one time we saw in Pittsburgh, you know what I mean? Boy. Really yeah. Work in the room. Hey, I like you. Good job. Look me in the eye. I'm a man of the people. Yeah, I think both of these guys are trying to, because my interpretation is that the players got Steve Wilks fired. They never seemed enthusiastic about him. And I think they didn't like him. And now they like Sorensen. Because he was a player and they knew him, and I don't know why they like him. But so now I think the coaches realize, like, oh, we need Nick Bosa to like us. We need Fred Warner to like us. So it's, hey, good job. Hey, way to go out there. A lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I have anything else to ask you about practice today? Where was Kyle standing?
Kyle stands when they're doing the team drills where they're competing. He was standing right behind the quarterback calling plays with a walkie-talkie.
Oh, he was calling
plays.
He's
got the walkie-talkie, and Purdy's 15 feet away, but he listens in the earpiece, and that's Kyle.
Does Kyle hold anything in his hands?
Just the walkie-talkie.
He doesn't take notes or anything like that?
No, absolutely not. First half of this of the practice, he holds a ball because he really wants to feel like an athlete. So he's got the ball, he's holding it, and he'll play catch sometimes with John Lynch, or he'll insert himself into different drills where he can throw a football because he's proud of the way he throws. But then when it's time to call plays, then he's in his element, and it's walkie-talkie time.
Well, maybe it's his comfort football. It gives him comfort. Yeah.
Do you think Kyle Shanahan took it personally that a lot of his players didn't show up to OTAs?
Okay. I don't know him, so I can't say. But I can say this. He should have.
Yeah.
I can think, I'm sorry, Bill Walsh would not have liked it, and he would have made his displeasure manifest.
Mm-hmm. And this is another reason why it's good to have a younger football team, why you don't necessarily want 18 players who are over 30, because those are the guys who really don't want to show up to OTAs.
Of course not. It's a pain in the neck. Yeah. And I understand you want young, eager people like Green Bay,
like Brock Purdy. Yeah, like Green Bay, absolutely. Yes. Last year, Brandon Ayuk was at OTAs working his ass off because he thought if he did that, everything would work out because life is fair. This year, he realizes life is not fair.
Yeah.
So we got cynical Ayuk.
Yeah. Well, I wish him the best. All right, Iggy, I think we've done this long enough.
All right. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow. The offensive and defensive position coaches speak around 1 o'clock. So stay tuned. I'll post those tomorrow. See you guys.
Love you. Love you, Iggy.
Love you, Dad.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.